We honor you, Lord. And we honor your word, Lord. Thank you that you want to speak to your children today. You want to come and you want to minister life to each one of us. Why don't you put your hand on your heart this morning and say after me, God hears my heart. Let's say it with heart. God hears my heart. I open it this morning to you. I'm open to you ministering to my heart today. Holy Spirit, come. Touch me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Paulette. Thank you, Paulette. Thank you to the musicians too. You do a wonderful, wonderful service to the Lord week by week by week. And I know, as most of us know, that it's not just standing up here on Sunday morning and doing your thing. There's a lot more involved in that. And I honor each one of you that played this morning and that are on rosters other times. Personally, I am very blessed each time I sit under your ministry. So thank you so much. So on Thursday, who knows what Thursday last week was? Independence Day. America celebrated their freedom from Britain. I'm not going into anything political this morning. We have Anzac Day on the 25th of April. We celebrate the freedom that New Zealand received by the sacrifice of so many on those bleak shores of Gallipoli where I have been and seen. And I tell you, they are bleak. We celebrate that once a year. And right now as I speak, there's two significant wars going on in the world, one in Ukraine and one in Israel. And we feel strongly, don't we? Do we feel strongly about that? We feel aggrieved about people dying and soldiers giving their lives, mum kissing her boy goodbye to fight in Ukraine and only ever seeing his mutilated body ever again. I grieve over that. It's not right. And God knows it's not right too. Freedom is taken away in many different ways. And right now, there will be someone dying for freedom. But I come today to say, someone died for you and me for our freedom. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus. He died for your freedom. And this message is unashamedly bold today. Because my heart and God's heart is that you would walk into the freedom that Jesus died that you can have. And we can sit here with our nice Sunday clothes on and ladies have got our lipstick on and still be in jail. But God wants to set you free. Hallelujah. And at any point during my message, if you sense a wave of freedom, you can run. I promise it's good. You can ululate like the African ladies do. Are you here this morning? Here you are. There you are. Yes, you can do that if you feel that coming on. If you feel that you need to lay something before God and you want to lay your body on this altar this morning, you will not interrupt me, I promise. It's happened to me other times. It does not faze me. If freedom comes to you and you want to step out or step up or do something of freedom that you've never done before to indicate I am setting myself free because Jesus has, you can. Did you hear that? You may. I've just returned from 8 weeks in 8 different Muslim nations. And my heart is stirred about lack of freedom for women. I won't go into it, but I saw many situations where women are not free. And God has used this fresh passion that I sense on the inside to birth this message this morning for us. And I'm preaching it to this person here as well. It's not just for you people out there. This is an us. Some of the times when I was in either Egypt or Turkey or, I'll say all these ones, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan. Yeah, that's quite a mouthful, isn't it? And Dubai. I wanted to boof people. There was an anger that rose in me at times that I was just shocked at, because I'm not an angry person, but I wanted to boof when I saw women who were enslaved to their culture, enslaved to their circumstances. And you can understand what I'm saying. And that's all true. It's all there for us all to see. And we could be sitting here or on the TV this morning saying I'm free, but knowing inside there's a jail cell that you are tidily packed up in, and you want to be out of that cell. Am I right? I am right. Jesus died to set you free. What is the meaning of freedom? So if you look in the Hebrew, it means liberty. Liberty. And in the Greek, it means citizenship. Isn't that interesting? Freedom means citizenship. I am born again. I am a son or daughter of God. But do you live it? Do you really live in that freedom? And you know what? If we all did, how would our world change? Would we go and pray for a stranger and see Jesus heal them? Would we go and speak about Jesus and his saving power to folk in the mall? Would your nasty neighbor get loved instead of pies thrown over the fence or whatever you do? What would happen? So John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free from sin, then you become a true son and unquestionably free. What is that? A true son and unquestionably free. So have you ever been the parent or been the child, and the mother or the father says, this is what we're going to do. But mum, why? I don't want to. No, but I'd rather do that. No questions. No questions. No if, but, or maybe. This is what is happening. It's the same implication with this word of unquestionably free. There is no if, buts, or maybes about it. If you have been set free from sin by Jesus Christ, and that you gave your life to him one day and you said, be my Lord and be my master, the word of God says you are unquestionably free. I would have thought there'd be people jumping up and down at this point saying, yes, I am. And that is in our spirit. But I am understanding that there are circumstances. We've got stuff. Hey, I've got stuff. Those that know me well know my story. I've got stuff. But in my heart, I'm free. I'm free to be the son, the daughter of God, and do all that he's called me to be. If I wasn't feeling that freedom, I wouldn't travel to different nations and preach the gospel to thousands of people. I wouldn't get on planes and go here and there and go to the stands and walk in deserts and pray for desert people. I'm getting there still, but I'm a little way along the journey. And I tell you what, I'm loving it. Jesus has opened the prison doors for us. We were imprisoned in sin. We were imprisoned in our lifestyle. We were imprisoned in habits. We were imprisoned not knowing the freedom that Jesus died for. And we sung this beautiful song this morning, Look to the Cross. All of that was for you. All of that was for me. so that we could know and live in the unquestionable, I hate that word, unquestionable truth that you are free sons of God. Come on, I am coming. But we've got to access that freedom. We have to access it. And today God wants us to access it, to be more free when we walk out than when we walked in here. You see, our life, we look through filters. We look through filters of religion. We look through filters of condemnation and shame and guilt from things of the past. We look through filters of our culture and our family and all sorts of other conditioning factors in our lives. But God is not filtered at all. And this amazing gift of freedom is for you and me. Don't point to the person next to you who you know has got real problems and go, you need it. Take your finger and point it to me and say, I need more of God's freedom. And you see, we look free on the inside, but there can be just a little smidgen of slavery on the inside. I was talking to somebody just this morning who's just given up slavery to smoking. 9 days. Praise God for that. 9 days free of cigarettes. And I heard Heather's testimony yesterday at Bonfire. She has been free of nicotine addiction for how long, Heather? 39 years. So that other lady, you've got 39 years to catch up. Non-smoking to be where Heather's at today in the smoking stakes. Hallelujah. Everyone wants freedom. I told you I was in 8 different countries, and I was trotted around all sorts of ancient monuments and pillars and temples and mosques, and don't go tut-tut. It's okay. I'm free. I can go to those places, and the blood of Jesus covers me. I've been to some very dark places, and look, I'm still alive, and the blood of Jesus still covers me. But you know what I discovered? There's things built thousands of years BC, before Christ. Now, that's really interesting. Our time goes from the time of Christ. That's another day, another story. Thousands of years before Christ, they built pillars and monuments right up to the sky without the technology and the equipment that we have today. And there's astonishing places. You know why? A lot of them were trying to reach God. They were trying to find freedom. And that situation hasn't changed until this very second when people are still trying to find freedom. I've been in Tibet. I've been in Nepal. And I've seen the drug trail. And I've seen the druggies who are absolutely out of their brain on all sorts of things that they've taken. They're walking those drug trails, buying drugs, trying to find freedom. And here we are in this tent today with the greatest gift that we could ever have, freedom. And we didn't have to pay a cent for it. And you didn't have to smoke a joint or take a pill or anything else. Jesus Christ died so that you can be a son and be unquestionably free. Who wants that type of freedom? I want it. I need it. It's mine. I want to be, and I want us to be, free to be all that God has called us to be. And I know that not everybody walks in the freedom of everything that God has called us to be. I am sure there are evangelists here under the sound of my voice this morning, and you would not even consider that because you don't feel free or good enough to be. I would guarantee there are prophets who have never opened your mouth very much because you don't think that you can do it because you're not free. I guarantee there are all sorts of gifts and ministries in the body of Christ sitting in this tent and watching on their TV this morning. And you long to be all that God wants you to be. And you know deep inside that there's more. There's much more. And let me tell you, you are correct. There's much more in Jesus' name. Amen. God wants you free to live in peace. Live in peace. That is a commodity that no money can buy. I don't have everything perfect in my life, but I have this incredible peace that passes understanding. In all the countries I've been in, walking in all sorts of weird places, there's a peace and a lack of fear that I know is God that is around me and through me. I've nearly been shot twice, just in case you didn't know. And I still didn't lose that peace. Those are two great stories that I'll tell you one day. God wants you free to be fruitful, to have the joy of sharing your life with someone and having the absolute incredible experience of them saying, I want what you've got. Who is it? What is it? He wants you to be free and me to be free to flourish in our relationships. Now, there's the hard one. Because Mr. or Mrs. Sandpaper's going to come right alongside you and try and rub you up the wrong way. And when you know you are truly free and you truly live with that peace of God, you're going to be able to rub them back up the right way. In Jesus' name. And God wants us to be free to live righteously, not to be enslaved to habits and lifestyles and things that would take us into areas of sin and areas that we should not be in. And to be free from internal pressure. And in today's world, my goodness, is there any internal pressure around? Oh, turn on the news. Just listen to the dialogue around, even in the church, there's internal pressure that's coming in our culture. And I cannot promise it's going to get any less. It will be increasing. God wants us free from condemnation. A son of God, unquestionably free. Free from shame. And if you are somebody that has never done anything that you should be ashamed of, please put your hand up and you can take the microphone. Because we've all been there, haven't we? Yeah, there's four honest people in the house this morning. I love that. Free from embarrassment. Free from thinking people are going to think I'm awful. Think people aren't going to like the way my hair is or my clothes are. Too flipping bad. Free from embarrassment. And God wants us free to live with grace and know that the law does not bind us any longer. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly a son and you are unquestionably free. Yes? Amen. Please feel free to respond. I don't see anybody running or lying on the floor or anything yet, but you are welcome. We're in a spiritual battle. No surprise. No surprise whatsoever. We're in a spiritual battle. And this battle is mostly in our minds. And God has given us the ability, thank you, Margaret. Is it Margaret? Thank you. God's given us the ability to renew our minds by the washing of the water of the word. I want to read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. What a dream. People tell me I live a perfect life. They don't see the internal struggles. But what I do looks pretty good on the outside. And I do love my life. But that is because I am being inwardly transformed by the Spirit through total reformation of how I think. My friends, you were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought with a price. You are not your own. That communion that we celebrated this morning, that represented the price of Jesus' body and His blood on the cross that was paid for you and for me so we could be free. Do you dare shout, I am free?
I am free.
Do you dare do it again?
I am free.
Hallelujah. You are, and that is the truth. You've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's time to take that freedom, my friends. It's time to take it, to declare and know and live free from the law, free from the rules and the regulations and the condemnation and the shame and the guilt that the law brings. And here's another scripture, Romans 6:18. And now celebrate your freedom from your former master, sin. You've left its bondage, and now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as his loving servants. God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as his loving servants. What's got power over you? As you watch the TV this morning, what's got power over you? Are you sitting there smoking and listening to the Word of God? You can know what's got power over you if you're doing that. But there are many things that can have power over you. I lived under the law. I was a Catholic kid. Any other Catholic kids here? I am so thankful for my family. So grateful for my righteous upbringing. I knew what it was to respect God. I knew what it was to respect my family and to expect family culture, which, praise God for me, was a good culture. I knew what it was that God was in charge. But flip, did I obey the rules? I did it all. Every day in Lent I was at Mass. I bet Wayne was the same. I didn't eat candy in Lent either. And each of us, there were five kids in our family, we had five jars up in the top cupboard. If we got any candy, they'd go in the jar. And on Easter Sunday, when we came back from church, they were all usually hard-boiled lollies. They were all melted and stuck together. Gee, that was a really big downer when you hadn't eaten candy for 6 weeks. Wow. I used to go to confession weekly. And I remember dreaming up things to say to the priest to get forgiven for, because I couldn't think of any sins that I'd committed. Obviously, I think I said one day I poked my tongue out at my mother behind her back. Oh, naughty, naughty girl. But you see, I was obeying the rules, and I was at church on Sunday always or else. I was there with my hat and my gloves on. I could show you a picture. Oh, but today, I'm free. And you see, the standard is not works. It's not all that stuff, even though there's nothing really wrong with it. But it's the grace of God. The standard is God's grace. And it's the grace of God that has saved you. And it is the grace of God that will keep you. Someone needs to hear that. It's the grace of God that saved you. And it's the grace of God that will keep you. We don't need to add rules to grace. So why did God let Jesus die? He did it for that word and that scripture, sonship, to have fellowship with us, to have fellowship, to have a family, for you to be his and he to be yours, and to have a family relationship with God. And then when we enter God's family, and I just want to add at this point, if you're here today or you're watching on your TV at home, if you are not, and you know that you're not, in God's family, you haven't given Jesus permission to rule in your life. You know you're bound, and you know that if you died today, you would not be going to heaven. I want to say today's the best day of your life, because you can respond when I've finished speaking, and you can know Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, your friend, and God as your Father. Today's all about freedom. And if you're not free to say, God, you are my God, and Jesus, you are my friend and my Savior, you need to receive Jesus today. You need to take that step. It doesn't cost money. You don't have to go to a class. You simply say a prayer and surrender all of who you are, and then he starts working in your life. So then when we've come to that point, we have faith. Faith to believe that God can do with me what he has designed to do with me. We receive forgiveness of our sins, and we also have the grace to forgive. Faith, forgiveness, fruitfulness through evangelism. Our faith then is right out there, and we can evangelize or talk about Jesus, who is the one who has saved us. We can have fulfillment of the call on our life. Freedom to do as he calls. Why would I travel on aeroplanes and go and do as he calls? Anybody that's traveled a lot will know it's not fun sitting for 10 to 18 hours on an aeroplane. Does anybody think that's fun? I was going to tell you, I'll pray for you now. Someone over there's got their hand up. You're sick. It's not fun. And to be in all sorts of different cultures and different situations and having to assimilate into a culture and get to know new people and stand in front of sometimes thousands and go, God, I've got nothing but you, and be there and see him to fulfill the call on your life and to tackle new frontiers, to do new things. The chicken line is very real. Who's got a chicken line? Some of us have got a chicken wall. Who's got a chicken wall? Ah, four honest people again. It's the same ones too. Isn't that funny? God wants to demolish your chicken wall and your chicken line. You know the chicken line? It's like, oh, I'm too scared to jump over that line. Something might happen to me. Yes, it might. You might see God rushing towards you and fulfilling his call and his purpose on your life. And if anybody is standing on the wrong side of the chicken line, and you've heard me give an invitation for people to go and on a mission in Vietnam in November, I still have a place. So if you're really chicken line savvy, I've got an application form for you today. I've got a place for one lady. Rush me now. Come and get it. I need one more lady for 2 weeks in November. On Mission Vietnam. There's somebody with their hand up down there. Come and get it. Come and get it. Hallelujah. Helena. Is it Helena? Praise the Lord. Are you going to kick the chicken line out of the way? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, I was waiting for her. Hallelujah. Chicken line's gone. Where was I? Oh, that's right. And God wants to bring healing. Healing to those things that have been the prison door in your life. And I'm not naive enough to think that nobody's got a prison door. My one has flown open, but it was shut for a while. And I was very safe and secure and impoverished inside that prison. God wants to bring health in your body and in your relationships. He wants to give you the ability to be hospitable. And when I was thinking about that, I thought I should say, actually, nobody cares if you've got a Noritake dinner set or if your plates came from the eco store. They don't come to your home for a cuppa to see that. They come to have fellowship. I will come and have fellowship in your home with you. I don't care if you give me a paper plate. Have fellowship with one another because we're free to do that. Amen. God wants to take away the hiddenness. I know there are people in the sound of my voice this morning, you just want to hide, and you want to hide often. And if there was a black blanket here to throw over your head this morning, you might just jolly well do that. God wants to take you out of hiddenness and bring you into his marvelous light where you can be who you are. Who wants to be who you are? Who you're called to be. I am that person. Some of you think I'm a bit crazy. Well, you're right. I'm out of the box, and I don't care what you think. I only care what God thinks. And I will endeavor to live in harmony and love with all of you. But if you don't like me, I'm really sorry you don't. But actually, it's not my problem. In Jesus' name. Oh, I lost a whole lot of friends. And God gives us the grace to live in holiness, to live not trying to be holy, not sure if we're good enough for God to accept us. You'd be shocked how many people think that. That is that old stinking nature that goes, I've got to work for everything. But grace does not stand in that place. Grace makes you free to be loved by God, to love God, to live in holiness the minute that you say, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Lord. No fear, no shame, no intimidation, no condemnation, and no boundaries is freedom. I say long and loud, I have no fear. I told you I've nearly been shot twice. I still have no fear. And people say to me sometimes, oh, do you think it's okay to go there? Of course it is. Just watch me. I have a little poster in my bedroom. It says, I can, I will, watch me. So watch the space, my friends. No fear. What an incredible way to live. What a wonderful way to live. I'm so grateful for the unquestionable love of God, the grace of God, the freedom that I have. It's time, my friends, to take another look. It's time to take a look at the things you haven't had courage to look at before. Now we're getting serious. It's easy. Shut the door and go, that's too hard. That's too hurtful. That's too painful. God wants you to look, and me to look at things that we've not had the courage to bring into the light for a long, long time. God wants you to bring out a gun and shoot the sacred cows, the things that cannot be touched. A gun in the Holy Spirit that says, no more, you are not going to control. You are not going to control my life any longer. I am the Lord's, and He is my freedom. And I am going to walk and live and enjoy that freedom because Jesus did it for me. But you feel it could be difficult. How difficult was it for Jesus, stripped of His flesh, His bodily fluids flowing down His body onto the ground, a crown of thorns in His head, on His head. How difficult was it for Him? Anything that we have to face in light of the comparison is not difficult at all. We all have many opportunities to go back into the bondage that God's brought us out from. I have opportunities to be bitter. I have opportunities to be insecure, to have a poor self-image, to be angry. I have opportunities to be really crazy angry at my family and my husband who left me in very difficult situation and circumstances. I will not give the enemy that power over me. You should not. You must not. It is time to take your freedom and to walk in it. You know what it is that is your prison door. You know what it is that stops you. And I'm just going to flick over now to the last thing that I have to say. There's a scripture in Acts chapter 12, verse 8, 9, and 10, which I'm not going to read. But this is a story about Peter in jail. Peter was there. He was in big, deep trouble. He had a guard on each side. He was chained to those guys and some guards at the door. And he's sleeping. And suddenly an angel comes along and goes, poof! Wake up, Peter. Get up, get dressed, put your shoes and clothes on, we're off. Well, I would have a problem with that, I think. I would say, excuse me, first of all, who are you? What are you doing in this cell? Don't you think if you're telling me to go, you should tell me where and how and what for, because my head is going to be on the floor in a few days, and that's my fate. Who would be like me? Four honest people. Oh, you're all so spiritual. Of course you'd ask why and how like I would, wouldn't you? Come on. We're family here. He got buffed by an angel. He got woken up in a hurry. And I want to say to you today, what say God strikes you so the enemy can't slay you? Have you been struck by God this morning? Have you been challenged by the Lord this morning? Maybe he wants to strike you so the enemy will not slay you. Peter could have asked those questions until his head was rolling on the floor. But he didn't. His chains fell off. And the angel said, hurry up, let's go, get dressed. Oh, okay, whatever. Wouldn't you respond like him, or would you just go, oh, well, just give me a minute to think about this. By that time, the guards could have woken up, and he could have been in big, deep trouble. He could have said, I don't understand. Prove it that we're going to get out of here. I'm too scared. I'm too weak. And when a challenge like this comes to us, do we respond like that? I'm too scared. I'm too weak. I don't know what's going to happen. Neither did Peter. Peter had no idea what was going to happen to him. But he got up and he did it. He moved forward without understanding or explanation. How are we? Are we prepared to move forward, saying, God, I'm going to take a step of faith without explanation, without understanding, without knowing where that step is going to take me, who I will become, what you have for me? Will you do it? Will you do it? He got up and he did it. And here's a model for our unanswered questions. You have unanswered questions, and so do I. But an angel has buffed me many times and said, get up and go. Wake up. Stop lying there in your self-pity. Stop lying there in your pain and your shame and your condemnation. Get up and go. And I say the same to all of us this morning and those who are listening or watching on TV. Get up and go. The angel of the Lord, who is the person of Jesus, will lead you on. And then the gate. And then the door swung open. Do you think that might have been a motion-activated door? Do you think it might have been a motion-activated door? And off they went. The angel with Peter in tow. You know, we wait for an answer, but God waits for an action. We wait for an answer, but God waits for an action. I have a friend, I know somebody who's working through becoming free of years and years of traumatic abuse when she was a child. She could have said, oh, no, that's too hard, that's too big, I can't face that. But she got up, she faced it, and she's being healed. She didn't know what the result of this would be. She didn't know the depth of pain and damage that would be uncovered as she went to a Christian counselor. But she did it, and she's changing, and she's being healed. Isn't that a cool story? And the lady that is, you know who you are, and I honor you. I honor you. Freedom comes through obedience. Obey, then God. Not God, then obey. So come on, my friends. It's time to actually fess up, face up. See those prison doors have swung open for you, and you go, okay, here we go. Not waiting for answers. Paulette, please may you come, if you don't mind. Not waiting for answers, but going in obedience through the prison doors. If you just play something very gentle, I would really appreciate that. Thank you. And I want to ask you, what do you need to do right now? Do you need to repent of past sin and ways that have entrapped you and become your prison? Do you need to reach out for healing and deliverance There's wonderful people in this church that can pray for you if you have demonic strongholds in your life and you can be set free. Do you need to go and have some counseling? Talk to me. I know some good counselors. But whatever you need to do, Nike had the answer. Just do it. Nike had the answer. Just, big tick, do it. Who's going to just do it? I don't even see one hand. Who's going to just do it? No more excuses, my friends. No more trying to explain it away. No more coulda, shoulda, and woulda. No more blame shifting. Freedom is your right. It's your heritage. It's what Jesus died for. And it's up to us to take that first step. Because if the Son sets you free, you become a true son of God, and He sets you unquestionably free. Unquestionably. You'll be astonished and delighted in what God will do in you, through you, and around you. So as I draw this to a close, I wonder if you would mind standing, please, this morning with me. And I want to ask you, if God has spoken to you of areas where you are not free, where even though the prison door is wide open, you're still sitting there in the corner of your cell saying, I think I'm more comfortable here. Will you let God stir you? Will you let God move you? Will you let God give you all, or will you take all that Jesus died for? Will you receive it today? Will you take a first step, not knowing where it's going to lead you? Will you say, yes, Lord, not knowing what will happen, but knowing that if God has said it, it's good? So I'm going to ask you, as Paulette just plays this, whatever you need to do to say, yes, Lord, for that freedom, you might just step in the aisle and take one step forward, but do something. Make it intentional this morning. You may want to come to the altar. You may want to say, God, I'm done. I'm done with the way it's been. I need that freedom. I'm going to have that freedom. Hallelujah. Welcome. There's one person. There's many more people that should and need to respond. Do something this morning to say, God, I am going to, in spite of everything, have that freedom that I want and that I need. You're not deep in sin. But do you have habits that hit you up? Do you have relationships that are difficult? Do you have things in your life of pain that keeps coming up and reminding you you're no good? Shame and condemnation that keeps saying to you, you know what you did. You're just a dirty creature. Do you have any of that? It's time for freedom. Paulette, can we? Please. And as we just sing this one song through one time, because our time is going, please don't wait for the explanation, but come to Jesus. And if you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to welcome you into His family this morning. Shall we? As you come forward this morning, you do some business with God. You talk to Him about those areas that you need freedom in. Come, take a step. You don't need explanation, you know. God wants to meet with you this morning.
I worship you. I worship you. Healing every heart, worship you. I worship you. A maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
The order is still open. Come on, take your step. Come on, take your step. Come on, take that step. Come on, take that step this morning. Turn lives around this morning, Lord. Let this be an act of worship where you know you respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to take a step, it's not too late. One more minute. Take a step. Take a step. The prison door is open. Here's the light in your darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Who you are.
I love you. I love you.
That is who you are.
That is who you are. You are the light in our darkness. You are the promise keeper, the promise that we will be free and unquestionably free. You are the one that makes a way where there seems to be no way. So God, for these ones that have responded this morning by taking some sort of a step, Lord, I honor them and I pray, Lord, that they would know what it is to walk into your fullness and your fruitfulness. That they would know what it is to walk into new levels of forgiveness. That they would know what it is, Lord, to see you as the one that fulfills them. That they can step into new frontiers. That they can receive your healing. They can receive your health for their body, mind, soul, and spirit. That they no longer will stay hidden. And Lord, that your holiness will become a reality to each one. God, thank you for the steps that have been made this morning. Lord, confirm them in their hearts. Lord, thank you for their obedience to follow the boof of God without any explanation or any knowing where it's going to lead them. God, thank you for each one. Take them on a new and spectacular and wonderful journey. In Jesus' name, just keep playing. So now we are going to just do one more small thing for 3 minutes. We are going to pray corporately. We are going to all lift our voices together. And we are going to pray so that what God is doing inside this tent in Meeking Place, Horswell, will not only stay here, but go out to our families, go out to our community, go out to the city and the nation and the nations of the earth. We don't want to keep our freedom just for us, do we? Do we? No, we want to pray that people will meet Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that people will be healed and that relational problems and addictions and lifestyle and habits will come under the blood and the healing and the freedom of Jesus. So I want to ask you to actually use your voice, pray in English or in your tongues language if you have it. And if you have anybody on your heart that needs God's freedom in any way, let's just lift them up to the Lord. We're going to pray for 3 minutes, and we're going to just take this corporate prayer and say, God, we're offering it to you that you would touch others around us. Let's do it now. Lord, we lift our voices. Lift them. Yeah, let's pray with real strength and sincerity. Let's pray with the power of the Holy Ghost. Sheka rabe de la rabarata. Shonda rabaranda la basota. Shombora baba marbara marantaranta. Sheka la barata daditada. Sombro dararara. Lord, we lift. God, I lift my family to you. That every one of them would know the freedom that is in Jesus. That they would become unquestionably free. Unquestionably sons and daughters of the living God. Lord, I ask you for touch to touch them today. Every mind, every heart. Shadana. Lift it, church. Let's lift it. Let's lift it. Rabba shara baranda la rabaranda. Shombara ba baratasa. Shekala barateya rabasira. Keep praying, church. Keep praying. Oh, we need to see breakthrough. We need to see breakthrough, church. Keep praying strongly. Keep praying, church. Keep praying, church. Shoka, we're not done yet. Shela radi di le aradasa. Shomba raki akoba kota yete. Prete se te tarabuka tasa. Shikam brenda liada brelinda. Belinda le liende arrende le rita. Sobra dala raparata. Sompo rapati tareti. Se prati tiri arrebete. Shomba rata la rabaranda. Sompo randa la radada. Keep praying, church. Haki akoba konda. Shonka la baranda. Sombora tari tari tai. Tera tari tara baradila rata. Sombora paranda randa etete. So, Father, today we demolish chicken lines. And we demolish chicken walls. Lord, we declare liberty. Liberty and freedom. Liberty and freedom to be all that you designed us to be. Liberty and freedom to live harmoniously, to live righteously. Liberty and freedom to grasp all that you've done for us, Jesus, as you died on that cross an undignified death. God, thank you for your freedom. God, thank you for your freedom. We honor you. We honor you. Let's give a shout of praise to our amazing God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, you are Lord. We honor you, God. We honor you, God. Hallelujah. And amen. God bless you all. I love my church family. God bless you.